saves it for Jet Lawrence.
History is made, and now he joins the greats, the Immortals, with a perfect season.
Undefeated. Man, for all the people who doubted me, here we are now. So I shouldn't be here, but I am. So.
Welcome to Title 24, presented by NBC Sports. I am Ricky Carmichael. I am solo today. My co-host, Ryan Villopoto, was in the UK all last week. He is flying back home today. He was at the VET MX of Nations. I thought he was supposed to race. He didn't race, but I was following him along on social media, and he had a good time. So anyhow, he will be back next week. Before we get going, like always, we got to thank our fantastic sponsors, Quad Lock Case, United Motorsports, and Boxo USA. We appreciate you guys. A lot of excitement, and you know, we wouldn't be here without you guys. So you are a huge part of the success of Title 24. Hopefully everyone is enjoying it. We got a great show today. Since RV isn't here, I'm having to hold it down, but we got a special guest we'll have a little later on in the show. Eli Tomac. Eli Tomac is going to join us, and looking forward to that. So that'll be here shortly after we do a little wrap up from Ironman. And as expected, we'll start with the 250s. You know, it was going to be a long shot for Justin Cooper for sure. And it was interesting, certainly at the beginning. But Hunter, in the end, got it done. First moto, locking up his first pro motocross championship. And as you can see right here, we are watching a replay of that first moto of the newly crowned 250 MX champ, Hunter Lawrence, taking it. There you go. His mechanics walking up to him, and of course Johnny O'Mara. And you know, it was a long fought battle. And I got to tell you, like, just past halfway of this series, I thought he was on the ropes. And the reason that I say that, he had some unfortunate luck, some DNFs. Well, the one at Redbud when he fell down in the first corner, that was obviously somewhat self-induced. He got a bad jump, and then when you do that, then he locked bars and went down. So that was one DNF. And then his bike signed off at Southwick. So that was 50 points. And then at that time, then you had the rookie sensation, Hayden Deegan, coming up through the pack. So nevertheless, I'm like, oh man, this is going to get dicey. And I didn't realize it until, when was it? We were at the last race that I did with James, or no, was it before Bud's Creek? He was injured. So, and I didn't know that. So anyhow, he got healthy, and he came out with a bang the last two rounds, and really he performed at a level that he needed to at a crucial time. He was able to gain the points back, and it was well deserved, certainly. But the rookie Hayden Deegan did well, and of course Justin Cooper hung in there. The biggest thing that I would take away from there's two things that I'm taking away from the 250 class is that is Joe Shimoda, and I expected the rides that Joe had in Ironman, that I expected that more often this season in a pro motocross championship. And the reason that I thought that is because of going off of how well he did last year and how well he did and everything that he learned in that championship fight with Hunter. You know, I just expected him to do exactly what he did. Now, I know he had an injury and he took a lot of time off, so maybe that was part of it. But nevertheless, he did a great job the weekend sweep. And it was crazy because there was a lot of things on the line. And I go, like, for Kawasaki, I think this was one of the years that he wasn't, like, Kawasaki hadn't won a race in a year in like 20 or 30 years. So actually, and we go back to the starts on the 250. Think about seeing those Monster Energy Pro Circuit bikes up front the last couple weeks. And Mitch Payton said they found something that helps the starts and overall.
Did you find something on the motorcycles to get you guys up front?
I think the guys, we found something probably about Southwick that is quite a bit better. So they've all got to ride it. They like it, and that's what we're running. Seems to help. So definitely better on starts.
Is that something you'll be able to use in the SMX playoffs, or is it more outdoors only?
No, it's something. It's just something we can use for everything. So it's good.
And they'll take that setup to SMX. So clearly Mitch and the boys and the crew over there have found a performance gain and it speaks for itself, especially when they're getting good starts like that. So that was one of my big takeaways from Ironman on the 250. Hated seeing Cooper go down, Justin Cooper, that is, on the first corner. And here's a replay. He's up. He's up front. He's in front of Hunter. Hunter got a horrible start. You're going to see at the top of your screen right here, just kind of bottlenecks and he gets caught up. What I believe happened there is if you watch it in slow motion, they go into that left-hander and it's super rutty. And the rut just like kind of grabbed him and spit him off. One of the riders, I couldn't tell from the replay, but it spit him off. And he actually went the opposite way as the corner, which is easy to do. The bike just stood up and he got spit off. So I hated to see that for Justin, especially him being in front of Hunter. The championship might have went down to the last moto. So hated to see that. As far as Hunter goes, obviously with the pressure and everything that has went on this pro motocross championship season, I thought he would be a little bit better the second moto, obviously doing what he had to do the first moto to lock it up. There you can go see right there. He's holding up that number one plate. You can see how happy he is. I mean, when you're in that situation, you know, you just think of, you know, everything comes back to you, I believe, and all those moments and the journey to get there. I think probably that's maybe was going through his mind. I'm sure today it's really set in for him. But then the second moto, I'm like, oh, dude. And the reason that I think this is because this is how I was. And I shouldn't say just because how I was, this is how everyone else should be. But I thought that he would dominate or at least run up front in that second moto because of having that pressure of the championship off of your shoulders. And it was one of those motos that I thought he could go out and enjoy, right? Go out and enjoy, race for the lead, and not have to worry about anything other than your safety, and just go relish the moment, go have fun and be you on the motorcycle. That didn't happen. But I have no doubt he will be ready for the SMX playoffs here in a couple of weeks, September 9th at Charlotte. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch. Shifting gears to the 450. No surprise, you know, I feel like the whole series, we tried building these narratives of why Jet Lawrence would not go undefeated, but when you take a step back and you look at the position he was in at the first two rounds when he was a true rookie, you know, he never wavered. He answered the bell all the time. Chase did well. So it was unfortunate to see Chase go down early in the season. I felt like, you know, Chase was only going to get better. And I think that Jet would have been challenged a bit more. But nevertheless, that didn't happen. Jet went out there. He did what he always does. He locked it up. Very special, especially to do as a rookie. Would love to hear what he has to say about that. And what I often wonder what his biggest challenges were. Now that the championship is over, it'll be fun to see. It'll be fun to see that, but this is a great view. You can see the emotion. I mean, the guys won the championship and the only thing left was to go undefeated. This is after the second moto, Jet just right there, clenching his hands, celebrating after the undefeated season, and how hard it is to do that, pounding his chest as he rolls off to the podium, you know, hugging everybody. It's so hard to do that when you think of everything that can go wrong. You're really defying the odds of physics, or the laws of physics, I should say, sorry. And his talent is incredible. You may not like him, but you got to respect him. What he did against the greatest guys in the world outside of Eli Tomac, super tough to do. And it was cool to see that. And the respect, I believe, that he got from his competitors. It was a hard fought battle. Chase gave it his all. There's at times where Dylan Ferrandis started to show some hope. Hated to see Dylan go down in the second moto there. Made a simple mistake. They watered the track and he was running that outside line. And as he did that, looked like the rear end started to step out, boom, cut back, and he high-sided and went over. And it stinks for Dylan. because he doesn't have a ride next year. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I heard, you know, maybe there's possible opportunity for him to go to HEP Suzuki. So we'll see what happens. But I got a couple questions that I want to answer before we get to a special part of the show today. And I'm just going to rip off a few here. So let's hear. D Weezy 119. Which race do you think Jet will lose first in the playoffs? Well, I think he has a high motivation for a couple things. He wants to, obviously, you have to assume he wants to win the SMX World Championship. So I'm not in the predicting business. I have no idea. I mean, I can tell you he's got a lot of momentum. I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he is able to handle the pressure from, say, a guy like Ken Roczen, a guy like Cooper Webb, both guys, you know, that sat out most of the Pro Motocross Championship. So they're going to have some newfound motivation, I would think. So I don't know, D Weezy. We'll see what happens. Jacob_Chin, does KTM elevate Chase or hold him back? We talked about it on Title 24, RV and I did last week. And, you know, I think it's either going to be better or it's going to be worse. I don't think the grass is always greener on the other side. KTM's got a bunch of great guys over there. But nevertheless, I don't see it being any easier for Chase. That's for sure. Especially when you think of Tomac coming back, Cooper Webb being aboard that Monster Energy Star Racing Yamaha team. I think the HRC team is going to be pretty tough. I like what I'm seeing from Jason Anderson as well. So good question. We'll just have to wait and see. Fowler's Facts. Who wins? 2004 RC, 2008 Stu, 2013 RV, or 2023 Jet? Well, Clinton, you know I don't make predictions, and I'm not – I think certainly not me. And the reason that I say that is because I'm not as talented and don't have as much bike skill as the other three guys. What would be fun? You know what I would love to do? I would love to watch 2008 Stu, 2013 RV, and 2023 Jet square off and me do the race call. That would be a lot of fun for me. So, I know I didn't give you the answer that you wanted because I don't make predictions. I give my analysis. We appreciate that. Let's see here. Sharik Kubler. With all the talk about Jet's riding style technique, will we see others adopting it? Great question. We talked about that last week on Title 24 also. I think I'm not a massive technique guy just because I wasn't taught that. I was taught to do what you got to do, ride how you got to ride to win. And I feel that certain people are going to adopt that style. But I think a style like what Hayden Deegan has, completely opposite, goes full send, isn't as precise, but brings that intensity level and can hang it out. I think there's something to be said for having that kind of style as well. So we'll have to see. Like I said, I think some people are going to adopt that style, but not everyone. Jerry_714. This person asks, in your opinion, can Jet continue the perfect season or will SMX be where it ends? Well, he has the, he certainly has the talent to do it. He has the momentum on his side. I think it'll be a little bit harder for him. Just for the mere fact that I feel like it being a hybrid track, there are guys coming into this that, you know, have some extra motivation. The stakes are a bit higher. I don't think, like kind of what RV said, if you get a bad start coming from behind, it's going to be a little bit harder. So we'll see. I think it'll be tougher for him. I think there's, you know, more moving parts in a hybrid track. There's going to be whoops. I think the level of getting it right is going to be harder. And I just think there's more things that you have to be mindful of. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Good question though. Corza771, thoughts on Hunter moving up to the 450 next year. He's going to be a big surprise. I said this before already. I like Hunter Lawrence on a 450. I think his riding style suits the bike. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be great. I think the HRC Honda team is going to be stacked, just like the Monster Energy Yamaha team, Star Racing Yamaha team, that is. So we should see Cody Meckham 21. Do we think Hayden is going to use frustrations to pull off playoffs? I don't think he's going to use his frustrations to pull off the playoffs. But what I do think is I think that hybrid style track is going to suit his riding style. That faster tempo track with some supercross, motocross sprinkled in both. I think if you're a dude that is willing to take chances and you like that high pace and where precision isn't always key, I think it fits, it plays right into his hand. With based on what we've saw all season long, how well he did in supercross, how well he did in pro motocross championship, now the SMX playoffs, I think is this new light for him. And I think he's going to take that momentum, not frustration, and try to win this SMX World Championship in the 250, the division. So great question. We appreciate all your questions. Like I said, with RV not being here and having a special guest with Eli, we're going to spend more time with Eli. So don't have as many questions to knock out. But before we get to our special guest with Eli, let's go to the quad lock question of the week. And it kind of coincides with the SMX points. So we can get the SMX points up on the screen. Our quad lock question of the week is from Russ219. Russ219 asks, can you confirm the point system going into the playoffs? And Russ, here you go. So the points do reset. And on the right-hand side of your screen, there you go. These are the points going into playoff round number one in Charlotte in 2 weeks' time, September 29th. Chase Sexton leads the field with 25 points. Aaron Plessinger, 22 points. Jet Lawrence is in third. Cian Cerullo, fourth, so on and so forth. So there you go. I like the reset right there. So that should answer your question, Russ. We appreciate it. Make sure you slide into the DM. On Title 24, we will get you locked up with linked up with Quadlock. They'll send you some product. I guarantee you will like that. Make sure when you get it, you send a post, tag Title 24, tag all of us, and we love seeing the interaction. So to answer your question, I love how they're resetting it. It's going to be interesting, to say the least, and it's something that I go back to when the SMX was, when this concept was released and talked about last October at the LA Coliseum. And there was a lot of speculation about it. And it came at an interesting time, but it was something that I think now has a lot of value. But I don't know, and I don't think that we all knew just what it was going to amount to, say, even back in last October. Even maybe January or February. But then I go to, say, halfway through the Monster Energy Supercross season, and then you start seeing the points stack up. And you're like, hey, this thing might be bigger than what we anticipated. And then as the Monster Energy Supercross series ends, then we go on to the Pro Motocross Championship. Well, then you start seeing guys that were only doing Supercross only start coming in and race a Pro Motocross series to make sure that they are in that top 30 seated in points, whether it's 250 or 450. And you're like, ah, okay. So now you can see the importance of it, wanting to be seated and be in that top 30. So you make it to the playoffs, and you could see everything starting to materialize and see the importance of being there and what this SMX playoffs was going to be like outside of what it's going to bring from a TV package standpoint and just what that does for our sport in general. And so I think it's awesome. I think it's fantastic. I'm excited for it. I think it was cool to see all the guys that were just lingering around the top 30 to come back and get those points, whether you're guys like Ken Roczen, whether you're guys like Cooper Webb at the beginning of the series, or the guys closer to the bubble. You can see that system is working. And quite frankly, you know, there was a lot of negativity around it from some of the keyboard warriors, and I hated that. And now everyone, you know, majority of the people is talking about it. And I think if you look at it from a positive light, it's working. Are there things that might need to be changed? Of course there are. Things take time, but there's no denying that a playoff system works better in all facets of sports. I think it works great, even in NASCAR. I mean, I was at Daytona International Speedway this week for the last regular season, and there are so many guys on the bubble. There's like 17 guys that had an opportunity to win, and if they won, they raced their way. They were locked into the playoffs, and the anticipation was massive. And now they go into the playoffs this weekend in Darlington. So nevertheless, I think it's going to be just as great for SMX. I think that you're starting to see it work. It's only going to, in my mind, continue to get better. There's a lot of money up for grabs, as we talked about. Let's thank our sponsors once again. United Motorsports, unitedmotorsports.com. If you are in the Kentucky, Ohio region, they got 6 locations. Make sure you check them out. Quad Lock Case. Obviously, we do the Quad Lock Case question of the week. They give away stuff to one lucky winner. So we appreciate you guys. Check them out at quadlockcase.com. And as always, Boxo USA. Make sure you go to boxousa.com. I love their toolboxes. They got great stuff. And always remember, they're a lifetime guarantee. And their warranty package is epic, super easy. All you got to do, take a picture, boom, they'll send it to you. You send the product back, and they will get you a replacement. And if you are looking for a promo code on all of these, on Boxo USA, Quad Lock, or United Motorsports, site-wide, there's a 10% discount, and that's Title24. Is the promo code. So go on there, save yourself 10%. Now, what we've all been waiting for since RV can't come here, we're going to bring our man, 4-time Pro Motocross champion, 2-time Monster Energy Supercross champion, Eli Tomac in. All right, special guest here on Title 24 today, our man, Eli Tomac, 4-time MX champ, 2-time Supercross champ. Eli, it's been a while. Good to see you, my man. Everything going good?
It is. Thanks for having me on here. You know, I've been, you know, just rehabbing this Achilles as the best I can. It's been going really well. You know, I'm actually back on a mountain bike now, so I'm riding my bicycle. You know, just trying to gain strength back in this Achilles, and it's always a fine line on how much do you push it for that recovery. But you know, you try to do what you can. And so far the healing's has been you know, right on track.
Man, that's fantastic. And I think before we came on air here, we were talking behind the scenes, everyone listening to our podcast today. We were talking about, like, I feel like you go through peaks and valleys. Like, that's how it was for my ACL. And Eli was sharing with me kind of the same thing. And isn't, like, I used to get scared sometimes, like, oh no, like, something's going wrong, or is this thing ever going to get better? And then, like, the next week, it's just like you make a substantial leap. You're like, okay, there we go.
Yeah. Right? And that's how it's been. I've been the same way, man. It's like every couple of days, you know, you really fatigue the thing, and then it's kind of sore for a day or two. And then once it recovers, right, you have that good step forward. And
I've felt
that with everything, whether it's in the physical therapy, you know, with the therapist working on it, or even on the bicycle. When I first started riding my bicycle, I was just in the saddle.
Like
standing, my foot was even too weak to stand on the pedal, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm like standing, really pushing through the bottom of that pedal stroke. And honestly, I think it's one of the best therapies for the Achilles, because you get that whole motion and that whole stretch with it.
Right. Have you been doing it close to home, like your rehab center? Is it far from your house or no?
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes down the road. So, I mean, there's nowhere really, really close to us, because we're kind of out in the boonies. But yeah, not too bad.
That's good. Do you have any timetable? Have they told you when you get back on the bike, or are there certain marks that you have to hit, or is it like a month? Like, is it a time sensitive thing?
So I have a final checkup September 26th. I think it's a final checkup back with my doctor. And I'm hoping then, you know, I get a pretty serious release. I mean, Yeah, I'm already on my mountain bike, but you know, being on a motorcycle, jumping through, you know, supercross transitions, that's a whole different load. Mm-hmm. When I look at my initial protocol, 6 months is basically where you can go wide open, zero restrictions, right?
Got it. Got
where
it.
They say it's as strong as your good side. So that would put me November 1st. So at minimum, I think November 1st for a supercross track, and anything cool. earlier than that, I don't know yet, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Play it by doctors. Way. Yeah.
That's how it was. Like, I was talking to your teammate, actually, Romano, and he had his ACL done, as you know, and some are like 6 months, some are 4 months. I think what you're saying, like 6 months, I think you can be full gas, I think, as an average, at least for ACL. And Nick, so to like parallel, like mine was 4, and then Nick said his was 6. And he had heard 4, but he said he got to the 4 month mark, and he's like, dude, there's no shot. I'm ready. So.
Yeah, and I think like my window in question, it would be that October 1st to November 1st. Like, you know, can I start riding a corner track? Can I do some light moto riding, you know? But then by November 1, I would hope for sure, hey, this is full release, get on a supercross track and get to work.
I think too, like along the journey of rehab, and you've probably seen this as well, is, and even like with your shoulders and stuff, I think the further along you get from your initial injury date and rehab, like everything, like from say month 4 to month 5, like the strength gets bigger. You're building it stronger over and over, rather than just trying to get flexion, you know, full range of motion. So I think the jumps get bigger is what I felt. What I think, you know, like so. Anyhow, do you think so? And I don't know if I said this on the broadcast or whatever, even after. So with this time off, do you feel like it'll help you, you know, going forward? And like, it was kind of a nice break. I know it sucks. It's crappy and all that crap. We know that. But looking back at that site, do you feel like kind of like a release almost, or like a relief? Like, okay, man, now I'm excited. I'm not burned out going into next year.
I feel that, but if I could have it all back, dude, I wish I would have just made it 2 more weeks, man. I mean, it was just sick the way it happened. So
That's weird. I just figured, like, because dude, you've been at the pinnacle for so long, and especially, you know, the mental side of it. And I don't know, maybe you're different, like, but I just like, I don't know, man, you've been like on the top these last couple years. And winning. It's like, dude, I like, maybe the break might be okay, and maybe he'll get another year out of it. Because
I mean, I'm motivated as all heck, I'll tell you that, to come back. But I wasn't really burnt, in my opinion. And I that's why I went for that motocross again. That's why it was in question. You know, it was optioned at one point. Yeah. And then I, you know, we signed up again.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't get to race. But
all right.
Dude, yeah, I mean, it's I mean, yeah, I had the summer off and now I'm more motivated, but I was ready to go.
That's cool. I didn't know that, dude. I'm like, man, maybe this time off will be good. You could spend some time with his kids, his family, do some stuff he's never done before, or just like, just kind of chill and not have that pressure. But dude, I respect that thought. That's good. That's good. Like I said, you've been at it for so long. You've been so successful, and just people always up your, you know, just up your rear end, you know, just hounding you. And I just figured that maybe the break would have been nice for you. And then you can come into 2024, just like guns blazing.
Well, I'll be guns blazing. I'll be fresh.
Oh yeah.
And I will say that, you don't realize it's like waking up on Sunday mornings now, you're like, oh, like, I feel good.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get so used to just being like totally destroyed from the race weekend on Saturday. And then like your Sunday's just completely blown out the window. Right.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I do like this part, you know, when I'm not racing. And I like being fresh on Sunday.
Yeah, that is. But then, yeah, I could see you're still young though. Well, cool. That's good. That makes me feel good, dude. And that, like, And I don't know if I've asked you this, and I taught like, I hate to keep saying this about like saying it on the broadcast, but when you left Monster Energy Cowie and then you went to Star Yamaha, I just like a lot changed. I feel like in your life, you know, you got married, you got kiddos. I mean, like you were a different dude. And what was the change? Dude, you run up front all the time. You're like no worse than third. Like what, yeah. What was that massive change other than the starts? What were the things like maybe we don't know about? Like, what do you think? Was it just the bike? Was it the team? Was it, I personally feel it was like your home life is epic and that just mm-hmm. correlates to better results on the track, but tell us yeah. what it was.
Well, it was just the turn of the page, you know, and for me, it was time to take that next page, that next step to a different team and it ended up being the right fit.
Yeah.
Straight up, like in all areas, mm-hmm. just for making the program, you know, work as one. And mentally I was in a great position. So mm-hmm. mentally being at ease, that was huge for me. And I felt like I wanted more and I wasn't getting it right.
Right.
So then once I made the move to, you know, the Monster Energy Yamaha Star team,
yeah,
I was able to do the things that I felt like would work and they ended up working. So, right. you know, with the help and the people involved in the team and making those things happen,
yeah.
but having that mental ease, you know, just creates better. I don't know. Like it gave me a better mindset on the line and I raced better, you know, got better results.
100%. Yeah. No, 100%. Dude, across the board. Yeah. It's just like, oh my gosh. And people like ask me off outside everything, like, dude, what's he doing? Like, what was the change? Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, other than like his starts are 10 times better. So that helps.
Yeah.
And then like, I mean, he knows how to ride a dirt bike. That's never been seen. He knows how to win championships, but it was just like, so I've always wondered that. I never wanted to bug you on race weekends, but that's cool. That's good for, I think that's great for people to know. And it totally, for me, it totally makes sense. And I kind of had that feeling too, like when I left Honda mm-hmm. and when I left there and then I went to Suzuki, it was comforting. Those guys hadn't had much success, obviously at the 450 level. And mm-hmm. I was blown away. And I don't know how this was for you when you got to the Star Yamaha Monster Energy team, but dude, they had so much stuff. They were so prepared. They were like young little kids and they were willing to do anything and everything to give me what I wanted. Was it kind of mm-hmm. what you're saying was a similar thing?
It's a similar thing. Same thing happened. And
it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
And it was nothing. I mean, it's nothing against Honda, you know, like, yep. dude, I had some great people. I'm sure you have, you're still great friends yep. with the guys over at Cowie, but it's yep. just different, right? When you go somewhere, you're like, man, it feels so good, right?
Yeah, it was this time. It was this time. And mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, I was at my ceiling at Cowie at that time. Yep.
Right. Hey, I had a question for you. So you're in a unique situation and you've been fortunate enough to race some of the best guys to ever do this from a stat standpoint, from wins, championships. Obviously, going back to like Dunge, you race with him. Everybody knows how great he is. He's a wonderful champion. Just, you know, he's super strong. You've got to race Chase, the younger generation. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to get to race Jet. And from your perspective, I'm selfish. I want to know what your answer is going to be. What is different from the approach of racing someone like, say, Dunge and Ken to a guy like Chase? Like, how do they race different? Like, and I'll give you an example. So for me, racing Stu would be completely mm-hmm. different. Like if I'm running second, you know, behind those guys, or if I'm in front of them, or if I'm in front of Reedy, my race strategy is completely different. So what is that like racing someone like Ken or someone like Dunge? Like what is that for you? Like in a generation? I know it's a tough question.
Well, going back to, going, I'll start with like the Dunn generation, right?
Yeah.
So at that time, I felt like I was still kind of, I was still green, you know, and I was still learning. And I was more, I would say I had more speed, you know, I would do better in qualifying most of the time. You know, I wasn't lacking in that area at all. And straight up, my problem was consistency. And that guy just would never budge.
No.
Would never throw away a race, you know?
No.
So, but racing them, there's certain guys that you can basically trust on the track and yeah. other guys that you can't. And Dungy, I could totally trust. And I felt like, you know, if I could get out front and sprint away, you know, then I was all good. But at that time, I was making these little dorky mistakes that right. cost me championships, you know. Looking back to like that New York race, totally blew it there, you know. So that was racing Dunge. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to it other than the guy would just finish on the podium or get wins every weekend. You yeah. know, it's like, how do you beat that?
No, dude, it's I'm with you.
It's so hard. It's so hard to beat a guy like that.
It's frustrating. At least I say that I'm not, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm looking at him like a guy like Reed. Cause Reedy was like that. You're like, dude, Reedy could start dead last and he's going to be on the podium. Or if he got a top three start, I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be tough tonight, you know? And then sometimes you just got to take second cause you don't have it depending on the style of track and all that stuff. And isn't it like, I would get so fired up in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, dude. And it just drives you nuts because you know he's going to be on there. He's going to be there every single race.
Every single race. And I'm thinking back to one of the Daytonas. I remember leading it. I think he fell or I don't know what happened. He was quite a ways back at the beginning of the main event.
Yeah.
And by the end of the race, you know, he passes like, I think it was Seeley, like in one of the last corners and gets either a fourth or on the podium.
I'm like, I remember that.
That was supposed to be my big night to get this big chunk of points, and it didn't happen.
I know. I know. Isn't that the craziest thing? You're like racing, and you're like,
yeah.
you have a decent sized lead. You're like, you see your main guy in points. You're like, oh, dude, this is gonna be good.
Yeah, like I'm gonna hammer him tonight. Like in points, no, dude.
It's like, why are you pumped? You won this Daytona Supercross like third year in a row. And you're like, well, yeah. damn it. I could have had a 20 point gap or gain. Now I'm leaving here with a 6 point gain. That's nothing.
Exactly. So then now I feel like as time goes on, I think of Chase, you know, racing Chase. And now I feel like the roles are reversed. I feel like I was the Dungy guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Chase was the early Eli.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt I knew I could beat those guys on consistency and just knowing, you know, mm-hmm. how to manage a series.
Yeah. You're able to take what you've learned.
You take what you learned and you apply that, man. And that's where you can beat those rookies unless you're racing Jet Lawrence.
yeah. What I've learned and like when coming up, like racing MC, and then after MC, it was going to be Pastrana. Mm-hmm. And then Pastrana, but he had other distractions. You know, he's doing X Games and stuff too. So, I mean, he was awesome on a motorcycle, super fast. But I'm saying guys that were there basically the entirety of my career. So MC raced. He was super sound, as we know. I mean, the guy's the king of Supercross, 72 wins. He was rock solid, never rode out of his comfort zone, super hard mm-hmm. to beat for obvious reasons. But then the next generation of Reedy was like a version of MC, but mm-hmm. a little bit faster. And then of course, Stu was the next generation that I raced. And so I'd say basically three generations. And mm-hmm. I noticed that each generation that was coming up, they were doing everything a little bit quicker. And so you had Dunge. And then
yep.
add Kenny for a little bit.
And yep.
then still Kenny. I mean, Kenny's yep, a great
Kenny's still there.
Yeah. Like, do you feel the same? Like maybe those guys, like the younger dudes, you had RD, and then now like Kenny's faster, can do more mm-hmm. better things on a motorcycle, and then now you've raced Chase All Last Outdoor, and then Supercross. Like, do you feel like there's just little nuances that they do faster? Because that's how I felt, and that's what it looks like. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, like, speaking of Ken, I mean, that guy, when he's on, you can't beat his early lap speed.
Yeah.
So, like, if I would be back in the pack, say, you know, fifth or sixth, and he's out front, you know, I'm saying uh-oh at that point, because he can run, you know.
Yeah. Indy. You know, Indy. He did it this year at Indy, right? Wasn't it Indy?
Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, say racing a guy like Chase, I feel like he's brought more momentum and speed around the whole track. Like, he's very fast through the rhythm sections. That's what I had to work on this last year.
Yeah.
Was really driving through the rhythm lanes to, you know, to match that speed. Like, that was one area I really had to work on. So, like you said, every guy has their, you know, it just changes with generation.
Yeah. I think for me, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. To watch you, obviously, you know how Chase races, you know how Kenny races, but now, you know, thinking about Jet and how he races, and I'm assuming Hunter's going to be on the 450 also. I'm just guessing. I mean, do you look forward to racing Jet and what he brings? Like, I think it's going to make you even that much better, myself personally. I just think where you're at in your career, learning from him, little things that he does, you probably go home, work on it. And it's going to be fun for you, is what I should say. Like, that's how I was with Stu at the end of my career. I'm like, man, I'm going to try to work and see if I can do that to a safe extent. Like, do you look forward to that challenge? Obviously.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be an easy task, but,
no,
it was, you know, it was a pleasure watching him, you know, this motocross season. And just the way he rides a motorcycle is, it's like pleasant to watch, you know? So,
Yeah. So you're a gnarly dude, right? 4MX 450 Premier Outdoor Championships. That is so gnarly, by the way. Going undefeated, like, did you think he would go undefeated? Because you've raced Chase, and you know, I mean, that was a dogfight last year between you and Chase in the Pro Motocross Championship. Do you feel like, was 22-0? Did you even think he could, like, Jack could do that?
No,
I didn't.
Nope,
I didn't.
Just and. For racing Chase last year, I was like, there's no way that Jet beats him every moto. No way.
Yeah, I know.
And then when I saw, you know, he was close to being beat by Kenny too at a high point. And he had a tip over, right? Made a mistake. I'm like, all right, this guy's, that was still pretty early in the season, but hey, he can make a mistake.
Yeah.
But he still came back and beat him.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, to do that in your rookie year just is mind blowing, man.
Yeah. I think too, like, I don't know if you've spent much time with Jet, but I feel like he has a tremendous amount of respect for his competitors. And I could be wrong. I'm not down there on the gate with you guys, you know, but just listening to him, he does, it seems like. And I think he was bummed, like, when he got hurt. Because, like, he, like, dude, you're the guy, and he won. No disrespect to Chase, but I don't know, man. I think he wanted to race you, you know, just because you've been the guy since basically he's come into the thing. You and Coop, you know.
Yeah.
I think myself personally, I think you'll have a lot of fun racing him. I think it'll be a new challenge because you know how everyone else races in that series. You know, we talked about it. You know where Ken's good at, you know where he struggles at, and the same with Chase. I think it's good. I think it comes at a good time for you. And I think it's going to be fun. But that 22-0, like, when you were racing Pro Motocross, did you ever set out in the series to try to go undefeated, or is it just about championships?
Just about championships.
That's right. That's right. It's like,
that's right.
It's like, I kept telling, like, on the broadcast, I'm like, dude, yeah, everyone wants to win all the time and win every race. But when you think about going 20, you know, undefeated, dude, there's so many things that can go wrong, right? Like,
there are so many things, dude, just first turns, whatever, mechanicals, lappers, weather.
Yeah.
It's truly unbelievable, you know, yeah, to do that.
Yeah. Hey, SMX coming up. I know a lot of people were like, you know, just didn't know what to expect, you know, when the SMX World Championship was announced last October. And then now it coming to fruition and then watching all the points. I know you haven't watched all the races, the outdoor races this year. But I had some stuff written down. Like, what's your initial thoughts on how it'll turn out? Like, so for the track layout and the track speed, what do you anticipate? What do you think it's gonna be like? Give me like, if you were training for Charlotte coming up, how would your track be? What would it be like?
I would treat it like the old Monster Energy Cup.
Okay.
I think I would prepare like that, and that's gonna be really interesting to see. How they build the jumps and, you know, how steep the track is. I think that's the hardest part to get around with motocross suspension when the steep jumps come into effect, right? I think it's going to be more supercross based chassis. And then once you hit that moto high speed section or bumps, you're going to have to just deal with it.
Yeah.
Making a hybrid motorcycle is so hard. So I would go in there to the event set up with a supercross chassis, and then maybe the thing's just a little bit more relaxed, like with geometry, but your suspension is, I think it's going to be really hard to, you know, make some sort of hybrid.
The points, do you like, and I think everything is made to be tweaked a little bit. And is this being the first year, how do you see like the points working out, and do you like the point system, how it's like single points, double points, triple points, maybe give someone an opportunity to make up some points if they lose some the first round? Like, do you like that, or does it not matter to you? Without pissing anyone off.
To be honest, I have no idea because we haven't done it, you know? So I don't know how, like, what happens, you know, when the double and triple points come into play, and it's going to be, I'm just going to sit back and watch, really. Like, I don't really have an opinion on it. I'm really interested to see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it does get really tight, you know, between the second and third round, and guys are in the pressure cooker, and that creates good drama for us.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you wish you were there, but we wish you were there also. But like, it's going to be interesting, Coop being back, and then Jet and Chase. I mean, we saw what happened there. So that, you know, that I think it'll be more interesting having the other guys, you know, lining up like with Ken and Coop and some other dude. It'll be interesting. You know, I definitely feel like with the two, do you like the two moto format, the 220s plus one?
I think so.
I like it from a fan's perspective, just because I get to watch you. I get to watch you guys more. And like, I know it's more laps, but it's just like, it's just fun for me to watch you guys. And the shorter races, like, you know, compared to motocross, I know it's going to be long for supercross, but I don't know. I think for the fans, it's good. And I think once you guys get used to it, it'll be good. And the cheddar's good, right? Another.
That's right, man. You always got that at the end. Is that
stack it away, big dog. That's right.
I think the 220s are good. I personally don't like triple crown format.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan of three shorter events, but I think two, kind of that 20 minute, a little bit in the middle for distance.
Yeah.
Would be pretty cool.
Happy medium. Yeah. Are you going to come to any of them? Maybe the last one or
no? I'm coming to the last one. So I'll be in LA. Yeah.
Sweet. Maybe we'll pull some strings and get you in the booth. I'm telling you, dude, you'd love it up there. No one to be messing with you. You got the best seat in the house up there, dude. You got to come up there. So real quick, I want to get ET's thoughts, and you put your analyst hat on. We're going to talk 250. I don't want to make you, I don't want to, I'm not going to put you on the hot seat and talk about guys you're going to be racing. So yeah, Ironman, if you watch the highlights a little bit, mm-hmm. give us your thoughts. Like, did you think that Hunter was the favorite coming in, or did you have, you know, higher hopes for a guy like Justin Cooper, or what do you think about Ironman in general? And we'll go on the other stuff.
Well, in general, Joe Shimoda's ride was impressive. You know,
yeah,
this winning was impressive. So there was a little bit of drama with Hunter there in that, I believe it was the second turn.
Yeah.
With that mistake. But to be honest, when I think of the 250 class, man, it's like you've got like this big bag of marbles and you just shake it around and you throw it on the table.
Dude, that is so good. You're right.
And that's where the finishing is. I mean, that's where they finish outside of three of the veterans.
Yeah, totally. It's like, hey, do you ever, like, when you're watching those dudes, even last year, you're like, damn it, man, why can't the 450 guys be like this? And you just go out there and stack your wins.
But that is the 250 class. It's just, that's your time to fix those growing pains, but that's it. You know, you look at these results and you guys got going, 7-1,
right.
Like 3-11, and you're just like, what is going on?
Do you think it's because those guys are just so close in speed that like the starts are that important? Because like, that's what I wonder too. Like, they're so close in times, and you look at them, and to your point, you got a dude can go seventh the first moto and he can win the second moto. Or your guy goes, I feel like that fifth to 12th place is just like musical chairs. That's what I feel like. Right.
So here's another thing I think about when I think about that is now that all the base of motocross and supercross now is surrounded by training facilities, right? And you have everyone training together. Everyone sees everything.
Yep.
And they're all riding together, basically racing each other during the week. And I think that's why a lot of it is like that in that stage in the 250s is everyone's kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And then you have a couple of these outcasts that are not outcasts, but guys that can step up to the plate or are veterans. But for the majority, from that third to 10th is the bag of marbles. Yeah. Because maybe everyone's riding together and training together. I don't know.
There's no individuality for sure. It's funny. I was going to ask you about that because you didn't grow up in the facility, riding at a facility. I didn't. I don't think guys that are racing now that did not grow up in a facility would be you. I don't think Anderson did he?
I don't think so. It's hard to say.
And Kenny didn't, back when. Yep. And you were right, and obviously the Lawrences didn't, but for a while there, up until like the last 3 years, I'm like, look at the guys that are winning. A lot of the guys that are winning, and when I say winning, like I'm talking multiple championships, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are guys that came up just riding by themselves, just look at the champions. Most of them have come from, doing what they got to do by themselves. They're motivated to go out there, race the stopwatch, challenge yourself on the practice track during the week, little stuff. We all do it. I agree with you. I'm not saying that I think that the riding facilities are a great place for younger kids who don't maybe have their own private track. I think in that regard, I think it's good, like on 80s, yes. Stuff like that. So
yep.
You're right. I think there is an element to that, to where all these guys, they do the same stuff. I mean, your teammates, for example, they ride together all the time. You go up there, like sometimes I'll go up to the farm and watch, and it's fun because it's like watching an outdoor national, right? And they're all relatively close, but that's what's so gnarly. When you go to the race, some guys get it done,
It's, yeah.
Bag of marbles, dude. I like that.
It's a bag of marbles.
Bag of marbles. Hey, real quick. So what's your thought on your teammate? I got to ask you, Hayden, like, were you surprised after you go back? And this is what I think, dude. You go back to Anaheim. because you were there. I mean, I know you guys are in separate semis, but you've seen the dude from when you were coming here last year to where he is now. Were you surprised at his progression and how well he did and the situations that he was in? And you think about the learning curve. Did you anticipate that?
I'm surprised of both sides of it. First off, I'm surprised that he can handle all of the media the way he's been able to do that and still perform the way he has and progress. Mm-hmm. I thought that was going to be kind of a negative for him on the pro scene.
Yeah.
But I think when you're born into it and you don't know any different, that's just his life, right?
Yeah.
So as long as that doesn't drag him down, man, he's on the right trajectory. And he, I would say he has it, you know, he has it right now. And for your, you know, for his rookie season rides and getting a couple of wins in this motocross series is a big step. You know, being able just to win is a huge step, you know, at this stage. So yeah. I'm very impressed with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did too. I mean, I go back to when you raced that futures race. You remember, I think, I don't know, was it might've been the second Anaheim you guys were at maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he fell down just over trying. And then what was it like 2 weeks?
He's got the heart. He's got the heart, man. He'll just, I feel like he's not afraid to stretch those throttle cables at all.
No.
Like he's just
he goes for it. That's
yes, he goes for it. So if he can contain that, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And stay on this trajectory, he's in a good spot.
Yeah, no doubt. It was good to see. It is pretty amazing too. But you just brought up a great point. Yeah, like when you're born into being in that spotlight and having cameras around you, you really don't know any different. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's probably one of the reasons he's been able to manage that outside noise and having a camera in your face. But
yeah.
Hey, before I let you go, so last week we were talking about on the podcast and normally we answer a whole bunch of fan questions and all that fun stuff. And they were asking RV and I like, hey, what would it take, you know, like, someone asked if Eli was racing, could he have beaten Jet, you know, or would Jet have gone 24-0? And this is what we said, is mm-hmm. we said that, and you don't even need to comment, but we said that we thought 100% he wouldn't have gone undefeated because there were moments and that to go down to the checkered flag and to beat a guy like yourself, beat a guy like Jet Lawrence or Ryan Dungey or Ryan Villopoto. I'd say Dungey because you raced him. It's those important times, those important laps, as you know, to where you're getting late in the race, the track is starting to deteriorate. Maybe the bike isn't working as good on lap 13 as it was on lap 5. And you have to be there those last four laps. And we were explaining to our viewers and our listeners about how you are just so rock solid and that we never got to see that, you know, because mm-hmm. Chase always dropped it, you know,
mm-hmm.
right at those pivotal moments. So kudos to you. We thought that for sure you would have stopped the streak. That'd have been a lot of fun to run. So it's been fun to watch your progression. And mm-hmm. and that's why you are so strong, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch you do. We're proud of you. Great job. Thank you for coming on today. I'm glad rehab is going well, and we're looking forward to watching you, dude. I am super pumped for you, really embracing it. You know, I wish that I'm happy for you to see all the success that you've had, to see how well you're doing with a full-blown family. And to mm-hmm. embrace it, you know, RV and I talk about it a lot, and a lot has changed since our days of racing. But it's we mm-hmm. often talk like I don't know that jealous is the right word, but we wish we could have enjoyed the racing at the later years like you are now. You really seem like you're enjoying it, dude.
Hey, man. I mean, it's the way it's been here. The last couple of years have been a good ride. So
yeah,
yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Eli. You're a good man. You're a great champion. Glad everything's going well. And we will we'll see you at LA, my man.
That's right. We'll see you out there at LA.
Thank you so much for Eli coming on. That was fun. Always love to talk with Eli, man. He's a great guy, and it's cool to see his progression. So we're lucky enough that he came on today. Big weekend outside of two-wheel sports as far as motocross goes. Motorsports on NBC. There you go. SMX Insider with Wygant and Jason Thomas. That's 2 p.m. Eastern this Thursday on YouTube, like always. Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, NASCAR Xfinity is at Darlington. They're going to be riding High, Wide, and Handsome on the USA channel. Then Sunday, MotoGP, Grand Prix of Catalunya. That place is epic. Been there a couple times. That's Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Then 3 p.m. Eastern, NTT IndyCar Series in Portland. That's on NBC. I'll be checking that out. And then the chase for the championship starts 5:30 p.m. Eastern, NASCAR Cup Series. Darlington, that'll be on USA Network. Make sure you check that out. Those guys, if you haven't watched Darlington, you need to watch it. I mean, they got all this space. Lately, they've been running a little bit lower, but they run right up by that wall. I've raced there once or twice in the truck series. It is super, super, super tough, that racetrack. But so that's what's on NBC. Make sure you check it out this week. We're knocking it out of park here on Title 24 with talking to Eli Tomac today. I loved how candid he was and giving us his insight. Man, it sounds like he's in a great place. But next week, we're gonna have the boys on. We're gonna have Jet and Hunter Lawrence on, the two 250 SX champs and the 450 and 250 Pro Motocross champ, hogging up all the championships this year, but for good reason. So we'll have them on with myself and my man RV will be back as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I can only assume there's going to be a lot of cracking jokes and there will be some haymakers being thrown on there for sure. So can't wait to have them on. Make sure you guys tune into that. That will be a lot of fun, to say the least. Before we get going, thank you guys, everyone, to all our partners. Like always, and we are on, if you want, make sure you go to Peacock. We are on demand, and then of course the motorsports on NBC's YouTube page. Also, remember the Peacock is on demand, like I said, so always good. And then of course Amazon Music, remember you can listen to our podcast there. Really excited about that. That's been so cool. Just head over to amazon.com/NBC Sports to get all the Peacock shows and listen to us. We appreciate you. Make sure you keep liking and sending your questions and comments. We love the interaction. A little tougher to do that when we have guests. But so that's it for today. We appreciate you guys tuning in to Title 24. And we will see you next week. Myself, RV, and the Lawrence Brothers.